Hello, I'm Elizabeth Day, host of Shaping the Future by Regent Street, a new culture podcast investigating the forces shaping destinations today. I deep dive into topics such as art and design, architecture, wellness, sustainability, and much, much more. If you like this podcast, why not head over and give us a listen? We're available on all major podcast listening platforms.
Tell us what happened.
No comment.
Three unique crime stories.
You'd want to take the life of a young girl like that.
Two sides of the interrogation table.
It should be him sitting here instead of me.
One truth to uncover.
I know how you'll twist it.
Featuring guest stars David Tennant.
I cannot just sit here saying nothing.
Hayley Atwell.
You don't have proof. You don't have the first idea.
Carry on like this and you're gonna have blood on your hands.
Criminal. Now streaming on Netflix.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty-Dowerty.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the bird.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Hot dang, it's Jessica Dang.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson.
Higher than high-res, it's Lauren Perez.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Lisa Wallant, now that's what I call Wallant. The Bay Area betches, betches. And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Lulu Simon, Sue Studio.
Always ready for Nicole Passeretti.
One day you're Rachel's in, and the next day you're out.
Yes, we can, with Howley, Carolyn, and Anne.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Chloe Grant,
the Grandmaster.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
And
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Happens.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens? Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker of The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island, which is available on YouTube. Go check it out. And joining me, the man, the wonder, the joy, he is back, Ronnie Karam from the Rose Pricks Bachelor Rose podcast. What's up, Ronnie?
Well, hi, Ben.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. How's it going?
Sup, brah.
Sup. Ronnie, it's nice to have you back on the show, although we have to give major thanks to Ray Sani for filling in for you last week. She was so fun. We were out of control, Ronnie, while you were gone.
I love her.
We were out of
control. Oh my God, I'm sure. How could you not be with her? She's fucking hilarious, that chick.
She is hilarious, and we talked for 2 hours. So if you missed our Dallas recap, there's a lot that you missed, 2 hours worth. Ronnie and I are really excited because this is the week. It's all starting up again. Crappens is going back out on tour, and it's all starting this Thursday in Charlotte at the Queen... Queen City Comedy Experience.
Right? Yeah, Queen City Comedy Experience. Whoa.
Charlotte. It's a Thursday night where we have a huge show at this comedy festival. We're really excited. We want to make a splash. We sold a bunch of tickets, so thank you so much to everyone who's bought tickets. And the theater just released a whole bunch of tickets in the balcony, so you can still get them. It's 7 o'clock this Thursday. Go to watchacrappens.com to get those tickets. And then the very next night, we are going back to Nashville, Tennessee. I should mention in Charlotte, we're talking Real Housewives of Orange County, and this week's episode looks absolutely amazing and hilarious. And then we're going to Nashville, Tennessee to talk Real Housewives of Dallas, which also looks amazing. This is going to be an episode where Cameron is going to throw a napkin in Brandy's face and say, "You're trash." So obviously we will be recreating that in Nashville. It's going to be amazing. It's watchacrappens.com. Here are the other cities we're going to after that. Atlanta, Georgia, only a few weeks away. Two shows there. Carrboro, North Carolina. Richmond, Virginia. Tampa, Florida, Fort Lauderdale, Indianapolis, two shows in Chicago, two shows in New York, St. Louis, two shows in Philadelphia, Denver, Colorado, last show of the year in Seattle, and then we start up again in January with the Golden Crappies. On January 17th, those tickets have been flying off the shelves, if tickets were on shelves. Detroit, Michigan, Columbus, and Houston, Texas. It is going to be an amazing run of shows we got going on. You got to go to watchcrappins.com to get them all. Some shows are sold out. Some are at low ticket alerts. Just don't wait and get them. And we will all have a group hug afterwards.
Yeah, and get our bonus episodes over on El Patreon, as usual. You can find us on Cameo if you want little birthday messages, etc. I mean, we're everywhere. And thanks to everybody for your support and being with us.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Guys,
so today.
Okay, so today. Whoa. Yeah. It's a guy with a sweaty back walking up the stairs. For Real Housewives of Potomac.
It's part two. So I have to say, this episode of Potomac was airing against the Emmy Awards, which I had the displeasure of watching. I watched the Emmy Awards. I know you didn't because I know you don't like to watch award shows, right? But the Emmy Awards were just uniquely terrible. They were so unfunny and boring. They were just, it was cheesy. It felt like there was canned laughter. I was like, what is this shit? And you know what? I was thinking to myself, the Emmy Awards, they pause for one moment to give like a brief, you know, nod towards reality TV. Okay. We have a brief moment where RuPaul gets to win best reality competition, and then it's back to all the other stuff. And there's just so much inherent snobbery from the Emmys about reality TV. And the truth is this, while this wretched ceremony is just droning on for 3 hours, and just miserable, Real Housewives of Potomac is airing against it and being 45 times more entertaining than 3 hours worth of the biggest celebrities on this planet, almost, you know?
Oh, God, yeah. Well, there's nothing that will hate you hate. There is nothing that will make you hate an actor more than listening to an actor talk, like in real life. I cannot stand, because every time I love an actor, I see them on some late night show or something, and they're like, well, let's talk about my process. Yeah. And the, you know, all that shit. And I'm like, I hate you. Like, listen, Patricia Arquette, I loved Medium, but in real life, I don't need you to ever speak about anything. Okay? Just be quiet.
Well,
okay?
I
be like Alison Dubois at all times.
I'm pro Patricia Arquette, and she had a good speech. I'm not anti-actor necessarily.
Well, I'm not,
and
I don't
love
even remember
award
her
shows.
Speech. What speech are you talking about?
Well, she won an Emmy last night.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see that. So I'm not talking about this. I just mean Patricia Arquette in general. What'd she win an Emmy for? That thing where she has a good Mommy Dead and Dearest, the show.
Yeah, the show is called I forget what it's called, but it's basically Yolanda Foster, the movie, and where she has Munchausen's by proxy. So, or she's doing Munchausen's. Yeah.
I believe, starring Patricia Arquette, okay?
I forget what it was called, but she won that. I mean, I'm not opposed to award shows. I love award shows. I'm not necessarily opposed to actors unless they become really annoying, which unfortunately is actually most actors. But the point is this, like, if y'all are going to be snobby towards the genre that we embrace, then at least pull up on your entertainment factor when you celebrate yourself, okay? Because you are acting like it's almost like they had to acknowledge reality TV, but they didn't even want to. They just barely do it, you know? They have one category. They don't give any montages. Kim Kardashian and Kendall Jenner come out to present.
Ugh.
But then they're talking, and the audience is full on laughing at them, which is kind of crazy. The audience is, like, laughing at them. They're saying, you know, they're going on, like, reality TV lets us see and the audience is laughing at them, you know. And I understand the Kardashian Jenner, like, I understand they're the butt of a lot of jokes, but like, it was such snobbery. And I'm like, you know what, all of you guys are laughing at them, but as far as I can tell, this has been 3 hours of bullshit. What I've been watching are just like stupid entertainment. And the point is this: Real Housewives of Potomac, six women sitting on couches from a leftover leftover Southern Charm New Orleans set that never even got used, is 10 times more entertaining than the brightest minds in Hollywood.
And speaking of, while we're here, if you guys want to see a real award show that really celebrates what we love and find important, come to the Crappies in LA. It's July 17th. The tickets are now selling
January 17th.
To the public. okay, January 17th. So I don't even know what I'm saying anymore.
I liked it, though. It was like, whoa, Ramona's singing here to tell you about the Crappy Awards coming to television soon. And by television, I mean a podcast, okay? What's the difference?
Yeah, at least you didn't have to read about it on page 6, okay?
Yeah, our award show is much better. It's much better than the Emmys. I actually firmly believe that.
Okay, so let's get on to Real Housewives of Potomac. We're starting with very scary music, and we hear they're doing their echo thing. Whoever's in their audio department has found the echo function in GarageBand, and it is hilarious. They're putting it on like chorus settings, you know, GarageBand.
Or, yeah, like Grand Hall Reverb, yeah.
Yes, Grand Hall Reverb. And you just hear, take care of your husband, 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 husband.
And then we see, like, this shot. It's almost, I almost feel like it's out of a horror movie. We just see this dark, grimy staircase. And at the bottom of it, this very cute gentleman suddenly appears. He's holding, it looks like a camera, but it looks like an iPad also. I don't know, it's some sort of thing. Clearly a PA, and he just like looks up the staircase like, do I dare go up? Do I dare go up? And then Michael appears behind him, and he's like, I must go. And I'm like, no, run, run. Because that's the worst place to be, is to be walking up a staircase with Michael right behind you at S level.
No kidding. Like, I couldn't even feel bad for you, because at this point, you should know better than to walk up a staircase in front of Michael.
Yeah, you know? At that point, that's when you like push yourself against the wall and say, after you, you know? Like, you do not lead a staircase march with Michael.
At that point, you ask for a staff elevator, okay? Period.
Yeah, fucking exactly.
Michael. So Michael comes up, and he's chewing his tongue, or he's chewing something, and his back is all sweaty, and we're getting, like, the Blair Witch shot of Michael going up the stairs, you know? It's really scary. And then he's just kind of watching while Candace is yelling, you're a whole nother level beneath my shoe! And Michael comes up, and Andy's like, hey, I guess we should stop because Michael's here on the balcony. I mean, listen, if we're going to talk shit about someone being a sexual abuser, I'd really rather do it on national television than embarrass them backstage. Okay, guys?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So then they all sort of quiet down. This big moment that we thought was going to happen where Michael was going to yell some sort of defense from his balcony perch never really happens. Instead, he just keeps his arms crossed and is like, I'm an Australian and I'm high up than everyone else, because I'm in a balcony.
I'd like to mention that I'm an international businessman and am currently working on deals. All right, carry on.
Business
got deals to work on.
Deals, as they say in business. Australia, two men enter, one man leave. So now all the men start arriving, and it's like, da 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 da, like, there's Juan getting out of an SUV, etc., and, you know, here's Chris walking around backstage with a small cup of coffee in his hands.
Yeah, Chris just walking down the hall, snacking on an actual cow.
Yeah.
Eating it live as he walks down the hall.
So Monique is sitting on the set, and her phone starts to vibrate, and she goes, Chris is calling me like he doesn't know I'm here. And Andy just goes, that's funny.
Yeah, Andy and Giselle were both falling asleep in the second part of the reunion. Andy's eyes were half closed, and he's like, all right, enough. I've had enough of this, okay?
Now it's time to go on to the Monique segment. So Monique and Candace were besties in the making, but sadly they're changing a different opinion on Ashley dragged them apart.
Yes, and then we get a montage of a clip package of all the crazy shit that happened this season with them. Like, she looks like Amistad. The Amistad rumor is really funny once they cut it all together like that, you know?
Yeah.
Just how it goes from the game of telephone, you know, how it turns into, she said you're a slave. It's like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah. Yeah, it is a very, very crazy game of telephone. I just think that, like, as a general rule, if you're on reality TV, don't bring up Amistad because it's never going to work out in your favor.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, really anywhere. Just don't bring up Amistad into a stupid fight.
Yeah, let's not do that at all. Okay. Yeah. I'm like even nervous saying it right now. I'm ready to hear like, "Oh, Ben Mandelker said that Amistad should have happened." I'm like, "No, I never said that."
So this package ends by Candace saying, I don't like to be judged by someone who's exhibited quite hood behavior. I'm like, putting quite in front of things doesn't make you fancy fucking Candace.
Okay? I know.
She's that kind of person. She just puts quite in front of it, and now she's a very fancy lady.
So Andy's like, so Candace, have you exhibited hood behavior? She goes, more like uncouth behavior. See, because I'm not hood. Although Chris and I are trying to buy a new hood for our stove. So mother, could we have that hood money, please? Thank you.
Yeah, I would call my behavior gas range in a $2 million home behavior. Whereas this is just hood behavior. I'm not from the hood, so I wouldn't use that term. And Monique says, well, I am from the hood and I'm proud of it. And she's like, well, good. I'm from a country club community.
She goes, I was born and raised in a country club community. I'm like, is that supposed to actually make us empathize with you? Born and raised in a country club community. You were born in a country club community where you're like, just like popped out on, you know, par eight or whatever, hole number eight or something.
Just to use golf terms so you get this properly, Candace, about my feelings for you. You're basically a mulligan. You're a do-over if I ever saw one.
Big old mulligan. I like that Monique is like, but you act like you're from the hood, butter knives and all. And, she, you know. Oh, God. So
and someone says, she goes, I'm from a country club community. And someone goes, you can tell. Like, it's all this country club shaming. You know, what did country clubs ever do to you guys?
I know. I just feel like I would, if you were from a country club community, I don't think you would ever actually say you're from a country club community. Because I think that, like, people who are in their 20s who came from a country club community, the thing that they like to do the most is act like they are, like, tough and street and things like that. So, like, that is the exact opposite of being a country club community person.
That's absolutely true. Like, the real kids who grew up near the country club are like, I'm not a country club kid. Also, I've never heard anybody saying country club community, so that's pretty funny, too.
Yeah. Country club community. I mean, the more I say it, the more I'm starting to laugh because it's such a ridiculous thing to declare on national television. I'm sorry, I was born and raised in a country club community.
So Andy brings up these nasty exchanges on social. Our good friend Sashal Madia has told us about some of the difficult fights you've had, Monique and Candace. Monique even blocked Candace on Sashal Madia. Monique's like, well, people were asking me if I'd ever got an apology about the Amistad thing spinning out of control, and I said no, but that would be nice. And then I get this screenshot that says, I'm the best victim. Ah, well, I blocked her.
Yeah. So then we see the shot. It's basically, we see a screenshot of Candace's IG, and it's like she took a screenshot and then in giant like that impact font, like that crazy font that you can do on stories, it says, you're a great actor, best victim. And to be fair, if anyone knows about great actors, it's Candace, because she was raised in a country club community, so she had a lot of access to Howard's End and Remains of the Day, so she knows her acting. Okay.
Yeah, no kidding. She totally wrote that in country club community font.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the sort of font that you get at a country club community.
So Robin's like, yeah, but Monique, why wouldn't you just reach out and talk about it? Why did you have to, like, talk about it? And Monique's like, because she lied. I was saying Amistad in jest, and she was lying and trying to make me look bad. And Candace is like, I did not lie about it. And so they just start screaming at each other about this stupid, stupid fight. And, you know, I was totally into it.
Yeah, Monique is like, well, yeah, no, you did. And you took it to the, you took, by the way, you took it back to the one person who you knew I had an issue with. And Candace is like, okay, fine. As a country club community member, born and raised, I can say it was wrong to take it back to, you know, your sworn enemy. And Giselle is like, sworn enemy? At which point, Candace then is like, oh, fuck, what do I do? Pull out the old tissue, the old square padded tissue. And she starts dabbing her eye. And she goes, we know how much of a fool of a mess Giselle can be. I'm like, why are you even attempting to fake cry while you're making fun of Giselle, who's had your back this season? She just, like, instinctively had this tissue going, and she wasn't even crying. She wasn't even going through the...
And had no reason to cry. She just, like, felt like putting a square in her eye at that moment.
Yeah, yeah. There was, like, she wasn't even going through the motions of pretending to cry. She was just like, I'm just gonna pat my eye right now.
Yeah, and she's like, yeah, well, we all know what a fool of a mess she can be. And Giselle says, a fool of a mess, Andy? A fool of a mess? And he just shrugs at her like, I'm exhausted. I don't know if I've mentioned this, but I have a baby now. Can we wrap this up? Like, seriously. We're going to go on about Amistad. So Candace is like, oh, you made it that I said that she's a slave. And Giselle's like, Noah. I asked the question. I said, was she referring to her like she was a slave? And you said, yes, take responsibility. Take responsibility.
It is pretty shocking to see the way Candace is trying to spin her way out of this when it's very blatantly obvious, especially in montage form, how she made it seem like it was much worse than it was.
Yes. Now, of course, Giselle did take that and immediately repeat it.
Of course.
Because she's Giselle, but still. So then the next question is, why is Monique even so forgiving of Ashley? Like, why is she such buddy-buddy with Ashley? I mean, it's a year after she called her a drug. It's the very next season. And Monique's like, well, I'm sorry for forgiving people. Okay?
Well, you know, to be fair, you know, it's... I know that, like, Ashley spent all of last year making fun of... Not making fun of, but starting rumors about Monique being a drunk. And I know that probably really hurt Monique. But Monique probably doesn't remember any of it because she's probably drunk. So, you know.
Yeah. She's like, well, I've forgiven. I move forward as if those things are in the rearview mirror. Just like the first tree I hit on my way to hitting the second tree.
I have a vague recollection of Ashley starting rumors about me. But then after I hit the first tree and almost hit a second tree, I seem to have forgotten a lot of things.
I'll tell you this. I learned this when I saw the light and I started going towards the light. But there was a little tree. And the little tree said, I forgive you. Come back to Earth. I'd like to thank that little tree for forgiving me, you know, on its way towards the light.
Listen, I know she made up stories about me being a drunk, but what we did was she was trying to get pregnant, so she was slamming down the beers, and I was just, you know, pouring down those martinis, trying to forget about the driving incident, and guess what? Like, everything's fine now.
This is the grand dame of commercial breaks. Time to take one. Security. Security.
For my whole life, I didn't know if I even really existed, but I do.
Joker is the film that everyone is talking about. Critics are calling it the film of the year, an instant classic, a masterpiece, 5 stars.
People are starting to notice.
Gloriously daring, thunderously powerful, Joaquin Phoenix is astonishing.
The clown. When you bring me out, can you introduce me as Joker?
Joker, in cinemas October 4. Book tickets now.
Get ready for Brexit on the 31st of October. Brexit will bring changes that affect businesses in many ways, particularly if you buy from EU suppliers, sell to EU customers, provide services to EU clients, and receive customer data from other businesses in the EU. Businesses need to prepare. Find out how at gov.uk/Brexit. Get ready for Brexit on the 31st of October.
And then Candace is quick to point out that Ashley should shut up. Because Ashley's like, that really hurt me. You went so low. That was icy of you. That was beyond icy. That was freezing cold, icy, ice, ice. You know, she just kept saying ice cold and stuff. And so Candace is like, shut up, Ashley. You were telling everybody that Monique was driving drunk right after she had a miscarriage. So what, are we going to pull the miscarriage card for everybody? I was like, geez.
She kind of caught her, though. And then... And then we get to, like, one of my favorite convoluted fights of the season was this whole thing where about this Monique showing text messages to Ashley that Monique text messages from Candace to Ashley. And then, of course, Ashley tells Giselle about the text messages. And, like, it's just such a stupid tangle of shit. And so they start to kind of, like, as Andy says, it's a lot to unpack here. So they start to unpack it. And, like, why was it okay for Monique to give Ashley her phone and let Ashley read private text messages between Monique and Candace? So Monique says she wanted to exonerate herself because Candace was saying that everyone was, like, laughing about all the Michael stuff when it came out. And Monique wanted to show that in her text messages she wasn't laughing. And the best part is that, like, Candace was like, I'm tangled up listening to you. I'm looking at my own notes. I know exactly what happened. I can't even get my words straight.
I'm looking at my notes, following what you're saying to make sure my notes are in the same place as what you're saying, and I'm tangled too. My brain is Andy's eyes right now.
So
half closed.
Basically, Monique is saying I wasn't laughing. I wasn't laughing, and I had to show these texts to show that I wasn't laughing. And so then it's like, but didn't Monique talk trash about Michael and Ashley in other conversations? And, you know, what about that situation, Monique, when Candace FaceTimed you and you said, karma will get you? And she's like, I wasn't laughing. I was just stating the facts. I'm just stating the facts. Karma will get you. And I said it with a smile because I think it's funny that when karma gets you, it's like so karma. And I just, and so I laughed. And so I was laughing and smiling and talking about karma getting Michael, but I was just stating facts.
No kidding. I mean, karma's also a chameleon. Do you want to get Boy George up here and like tell him off? Because you can. Okay. Yeah. Karma's a chameleon. There, he said it. And Andy's like, well, that's not nice, though. She goes, well, I'm just stating a fact. Okay, that's a fact. Karma. Yeah, fact.
Karma.
So Robin, who decides about odd things to fight about.
Yeah.
Robin chooses the most boring. Even Robin chooses the stylist. Most boring fight. Yes.
No
She's
fight
like,
there.
Fine, I'll wear Karen's wig. That sounds like a great idea. It's like, why don't you fight that? You know?
Yeah.
So Robin's like, well, but you threw us all under the bus because you said that everybody was laughing. And she goes, everybody was. She's like, no, I wasn't laughing. I was like, can we cut to the scene of Robin on the couch cracking up with a bowl of fruit? Please.
We know, Robin, that you were laughing because we've been making your laugh noise ever since. She had that like chunk of, I think it was watermelon, and she had that chunk just hovering by her mouth going,
Did you notice she did that in this episode? I totally thought of you. I was like, that was for Ben. I felt like that was a high five to you because at one point she went, oh!
By the way, and I don't think she should deny it. Of course she was laughing because it's like hilarious. I'm sorry. It's hilarious because when we all found out, we as an audience, when we found out about it, I'm sure no one was like, oh, this is shocking. I'm sure we were all like, oh, shit. You know, we all were. We all were.
Yeah. So Ashley says, well, this is how I felt. And Karen goes, remember, you're spiritual now. You're spiritual. Remember that. Remember that, Ashley. You're spiritual now. And now she's like, okay, well, all I'll say is that to me, it spoke volumes. Okay.
Okay,
Ashley. Great. So the next thing is, what about Candace saying that Ashley was just using Candace as a ladder to get to Monique?
No, I think it was the other way around. It was Monique using Candace to get to Ashley, which I think is hilarious.
Either way, like neither of those things is high up.
That's like using someone to get on top of a squatty potty. Okay, you're not really that high off the floor.
It's like someone using a ladder to pick a paper towel up off the floor. It's like it makes no sense. You just have to go over the other side of the ladder, which like, isn't as secure.
Okay? Yeah, since when is anyone social climbing to get into Ashley's good graces? I just don't understand that. I mean, last time I checked,
Michael's up on the balcony. Michael's up. Michael, do you have anything to say about this? I'd just like to remind everybody that I am an international businessman with lots of business. All right.
Deals
not needed here
and
anymore.
Business. Deals and deals and business, contract, negotiation, synergy, collaboration, and conglomeration.
Yeah, no one is climbing you to get to the top of that ladder.
Okay? I mean, first of all, Monique already has enough climbing she has to do with Chris in bed, okay? Second of all, Monique lives in a palace. She has an aquarium, and I'm not talking about like a fish tank. She has an actual aquarium that's run by the state in her kitchen, okay? Ashley,
an actual aquarium with the children visit, okay?
Yeah.
I just saw Cameron from Southern Charm here with her child running around aimlessly.
There is someone who actually has to climb into her fish tank and clean it, okay? That is what happens, okay? Ashley just got rid of a pool table that was where her couch is now, all right? Monique is not trying to climb into that.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And so Candace is like, you are chastising me in front of her so you can get in her good graces. You tried to take me down. Shut up, Candace.
Candace, you are so self-involved to think that you could even be a rung on a ladder, okay? Please. That's the hidden message here, is by her asserting this, that Monique used her to ascend, that implies that Candace is already up a certain level, already has a certain sort of special access and has some sort of privilege that Monique doesn't have, which is all completely false because Candace is the new one, and Candace is the one who just paid off her loans to Bank of Momerica.
She never paid off those loans.
And she never did, by the way. She's in default. The credit the crisis is happening. By the way, the first bank that's going to close in whenever we have our next financial crisis is going to be the Bank of Dorothy.
Yeah, the Bank of Dorothy is like when Capital One calls me every day and it gives me a ding like five times a day, except when the Bank of Dorothy calls, your phone just hits you in the head.
Yeah. It's like, I was reading about this this crazy travel agency in England called Thomas Cook. It's not called that, but it's it's a travel agency that's been around since 1841, and they collapsed today. I don't know if you heard about this, but they full-on collapsed, and I had never heard of it, but I think it's very British-based, and they, this company, they have an airline, they do travel packages, it's like you go to them, and they book you travel, and essentially because they collapsed today, everyone who had, like, booked a flight with them, and who is, like, abroad, because they're on vacation packages or whatever, are now stranded, because...
Oh, no.
There's like, 600,000 people across the world who can't get back home right now, and I was like... That's Dorothy. That's what Dorothy would do. Dorothy would be like, all right, Candace, fine. It's a little Mama D also. Fine. Okay, guess what? I'm just going to close down this, you know, 160-year-old company, 180-year-old company. All right, fine. I'm going to do that.
Yeah, not even. She would just no hard night, good morning. It's just hard night.
The point is this. Dorothy is an old collapsing travel agency, and Candace still has not moved on to Orbitz.
Yeah, Candace is going to get stranded somewhere, hopefully in her $2 million house.
So I they guess fight this means over, the coffee's like, kicking in if I'm making strained metaphors with the failed travel agency, huh?
I'm like thinking about all those people. I'm like, those poor people. It's like we've got 5 pages of notes to get through, and I'm like, that's poor people. I hope they have an aquarium to go see. Monita! Oh, yeah!
But, I feel bad for all those people who are stranded, but at the same time, it's kind of hilarious to think of a whole bunch of British people who are like, oh, I guess we'll have to spend more time in Belize then. So what do we do, Nigel?
Continental breakfast for us, eh?
I just imagine everything as a polite British comedy. Like, oh, no. The Wallaces are stuck in Belize, coming soon to the Beeb.
Da 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 da.
This is probably why Down Abbey was number one this weekend, because all the stranded British people had nothing else to do. Like, well,
yeah, they had to go to a movie. it's a bunch of old white people had free time on their hands suddenly. Like, wow, we never thought that this many old British white people would make a movie this big. God, I wonder where they suddenly got so much free time.
Well, clearly O'Brien left a bar of soap under the Thomas Cook Company's foot.
Oh, God. Okay, so they're fighting over who made who look bad. And Monique's like, you made yourself look bad. You lied on me in front of the whole group, so whatever. Stop acting like the victim. And Candace is like, well, then we get on a farm, and you said you dragged me pregnant. And where's that baby now? Where's that baby now? Come drag me there.
Yeah.
Yep, that is very country club community.
Yeah, right country there. Club community right there. So finally Karen stands up. She's like, oh, security, this is going nowhere. Where's going nowhere? Okay, everyone, let it go. If people don't stop letting it go right now, I'm going to turn into a tropical storm right now. Oh, look, I did it. Tropical storm Karen, on its way.
I will not sit here for this nonsense. If this doesn't stop, I shall be leaving right now. I'm leaving. Like, Karen, literally nobody cares if you leave right now, okay?
I know.
That's not the threat you want to make. Like, if you don't stop this, I'm bringing you cookies, young man.
Yeah.
It's not a threat.
We'll get to cookies. By the way, did you know that there really is a tropical storm Karen happening right now? That's why I mentioned
it.
That's why I mentioned
it. Damn, tropical storms. Hey, just a general message to whatever tropical storms are listening to this. How about you fuck off, okay? That would be great. How about you just leave everybody alone?
Listen, I think there's nothing to worry about with Tropical Storm Karen, because Tropical Storm Karen is going to show up, and, like, if you're expecting, you know, her to knock down things or whatever, no. It's like, no, we don't have the wind this time. We're in discovery phase. We're thinking about the wind, but what we do have is a reveal of a cloud! Tropical Storm Karen, come through.
Like, it's so weird. This Tropical Storm Karen said she was going to come live here, but she actually lives 20 miles away in a rented house. So,
you know, like, I've heard of the expression, it's raining cats and dogs, but I've never heard of the expression, it's raining fax machines and Laserdisc players.
Security! It's just raining security. So Karen threatens to leave. So then we see the guys getting ready, and Juan, none of the husbands are probably too excited to be here, except for Chris. Like, Chris seems to love this. Little Chris seems to always like, well, big Chris is just happy anywhere, you know. He's just happy anywhere that he's not confined.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say, you know. I think he's just, like, excited to see a different type of room. I feel like there's something, like, sort of childlike about it. Like, he likes to look at the walls, like, whoa,
look at this room, and look,
a hallway.
Yeah, it's like, my dressing room is a warehouse. I no longer feel confined by the tiny, teeny room in my mansion.
Then we cut back to Andy outside. Oh, what I was going to say is all the guys look happy, but Juan looks miserable. He always looks just fucking so mad to be there.
Yeah, always, always. You should be so lucky, Juan, because guess what? Without this show, you'd be working at, I don't know.
Best Buy.
That's right.
God, I want to go to a Best Buy. I haven't been to one of those in a while. So Andy's like, So Robin, your life was under construction, but this season it was matching tats. And I don't know. I was even bored during Robin's introduction. Andy, I was like, I'm not typing this out.
Andy couldn't even be bothered to finish out his metaphor. Your season was under construction, and you think the next thing would be like, but you flipped it around. He's like, but you and Juan got tattoos. I'm like, okay, so you just want to lead us to the water, but not actually do anymore. Okay, fine, Andy, fine.
Your relationship was foreclosed on. You tried to come up with enough money to save it, but it turned into an REO. Also tattoos. It's like, wait a minute. You want a real estate tear there a second. Come back. So we see Robin's storyline for the season, which was her rehab again, and then a really awkward massage with Juan.
Yeah, exactly. And then their tattoo. So the news is, I think we learned it at the end of the season, but Robin sold the house and got a $30,000 profit. And now she is looking for a new flip. So anyone who has a shack out there, send your listing to Robin. She's looking for flips.
Yeah, she'll be on it. So Giselle's like, well, I felt horrible about starting the fight at her moment, her big moment. But I apologize profusely. And Robin's like, well, Giselle, I just want you to know that, you know, what you should do is think about what would upset you like that. Like I got upset. You know, put yourself in someone else's shoes. Okay, Robin. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for coming, Robin. Great job.
I think it's been 4 years, 4 seasons. I don't see Giselle ever doing that. So then Andy's like, Robin, you had a lateness rock bottom by missing the trip you were hosting. So have anything to say about that? And she goes, I'm slow. I'm very slow.
Like, yes, and that was sure basically it.
I was like, is anyone going to pile on maybe and be like, Robin, you can't be late? No. Okay, fine.
Yeah, you know how when the sun starts going down at night, your body is just trained to kind of like, oh, like you get a little tired just because the sun went down? That's what happens whenever Robin is asked a question. My eyes start going like kind of closing a little bit, and it just feels like the end of a work day, you know?
Yeah, she has a very, what is it, soporific effect? Isn't that the word?
I'm too stupid, so I just say she's boring and gross.
Oh, soporific means tending to induce drowsiness or sleep, or a drug or other agent that induces sleep. So,
and she's not an Ambien, which is like delicious and actually puts you to sleep for 8 hours. She's like a Tylenol PM, where it's like, oh, I'm kind of tired. And then you're all mad the next day and you don't know why. And you're like, why did I just cry?
She's like a greasy chimichanga where you eat it and you're like, that's nice. And I can't move anymore. I'm tired. Must sleep on this sidewalk right now.
Like where
right
it was kind of good because you just wanted to eat, but it also reminded you how much you don't hate enchiladas after all.
Yeah. Yeah. And you say to yourself, why did I do this? Why did I do this to myself? I didn't need to have this. I could have just had like a normal thing. Like I could have had a salad and now I'm falling asleep at the wheel and about to hit a small tree on the way to a larger tree. Why? Why?
Yeah. So basically that sums up Robin's performance. So Robin's like, they talk about the divorce and how the kids had to find out on Google that she was even divorced. And then
Andy goes, so your boys found out you got divorced through Google. Did you not want to get ahead of that? I love when he asks a dick question. It's so good.
And then he follows it up with, so are you and Juan 100% monogamous? And it's like, and we cut to commercial. Like it's going to be some salacious answer. But the answer was, as far as I know. So what about ring tattoos? And she's like, we needed a stamp on our relationship, Andy.
And meanwhile, it cuts to Karen. This calls for a Karen pucker. Big pucker. I don't approve.
Well, I thought it was going to be something important. You know, I would like it to be in the middle where I could see it.
For instance, Ray and I feel like it's very important to put things that are important to you where people can see it. That's why we have a large tube television right in the middle of our foyer.
Listen, when you came to my house pretending you were delivering a pizza to catch me in a lie, I put furniture right in the middle of the living room so it looked like we were actually living there. That's all I'm saying.
It's called pronouncing it. Putting things in a pronounced area. Security. Security's in a pronounced area. Security!
Oh, so Giselle wasn't impressed, right, Giselle? She's like, well, she said she was going to get a family crest or something. I was like, a family crest?
What family crest do they have?
It's like a lockbox. Like, what would Robin's family crest be?
It would literally be a box of crests that they all bought together. Like, well, we went to the drugstore.
Like that big Costco size. It's like, it took up my whole arm, so we decided to move from the family size crest to something, you know, something easier. And Giselle's like, yeah, but hearts. Hearts are universal. Like, so are rings.
So Giselle's like, we would like Robin and Juan to get married again. And then Karen then turns to Giselle and is like, we would like you to get married again. That would help you a lot. Security, get a man. Security.
After all, what good is a woman without a man?
And Monique's like, yeah, you were a lot nicer when you were getting steady D. Giselle's like, what?
And she actually wasn't. I'd like to remind everybody that Giselle was not nicer when she was getting steady D. Let's stop pretending. This is Giselle's best season by far, I think.
Yeah. So Marie from Dorchester, which I'm assuming is like Massachusetts, says, your tagline is shorter than my hair. Your tagline is, the shorter my hair is, the shorter my patient. But why are you so patient with Juan getting married? That was my nod to Dorchester.
That was really sweet. Accent.
Thank you.
All of Dorchester just raised their hands.
You like, just have to assume that was Dorchester, Mass.
Dorchester.
Could there be any other Dorchester? I don't think so. I'm going to look it up right now because I think that Dorchester just has to be Massachusetts.
Yeah. Robin's like, well, you don't really understand it unless you're in it, which kind of, you know, ruins all Housewives shows ever. So he's like, well, are you going to marry Juan? And I was like, are you going to continue this? Please make this stop immediately. Yeah.
I'm also like, are we really going to ask this question for the fourth reunion in a row? At what point do we just drop the storyline? Like, I don't think anyone truly cares about Robin and Juan's, you know, the state of their relationship. I actually like Robin quite a bit. Juan, he can be a little sulky, but he's hot, so I like that. They have a nice little family. Just be.
No one wants to see another Bravo wedding. A. B. Yeah. We don't want to see fucking Robin's Bravo wedding. Okay. No. Definitely not.
No.
Yeah. And C. Her answer was really funny because she's like, "Well, maybe in a year and a half," because that means she doesn't have to talk about it again next season. It's like, it's not going to stop anything, Robin. They're still going to ask you.
Exactly, and it's also not going to happen in a year and a half unless we're talking like. What's the opposite of dog years? Is there something that has a slow, like, tortoise years?
Like
maybe?
Butterfly years. Like butterfly. Because I think they only live, like, 2 weeks.
Oh, well, then that's really fast. I'm thinking, like...
Oh, like you're thinking longer
and a half
than
years
dog
longer.
Years.
Yeah, longer dog years.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Longer than human years.
Sorry, my fractions are bad. I was like, half? Let's see, half years. Of 7 is 2 weeks. Half of 7 years was 2 weeks. Aren't you glad you asked me?
I am. So now we move on to Giselle and Karen. And, you know, it's a montage, a segment of basically Karen and Giselle's greatest hits going back from season one when Karen did not get to sit in the center seat for her birthday party, which still ranks as one of my favorite arguments that ever happened on this show.
Me too. I started cracking up when they showed that because she goes, well, Potomac etiquette, rule number one. I'm like, Potomac etiquette, rule number one. I just love that. I love that we always used to make fun of how she would say, well, etiquette in Potomac is you eat with a fork. It's like, yes, Karen, that's kind of how it's done all over the country. Okay?
Yeah, and she brought that little picture frame. She put the rules in a picture frame to give to Giselle. And that was at the time when Giselle had crazy, crazy, crazy bangs that were like basically like draperies over her eyes. Then Karen had the opposite, which is that she had a hairline that started like at the back of her head. So it's just, I'm happy to see that their wig game has just really improved over the years.
Yeah, the big change here was in their wigs, for sure. Because this was like when you see a famous dancer being celebrated somewhere and they show their audition for that Broadway show. You know, they're like, or they're like, let's look at Melissa McCarthy's audition for SNL, you know?
Yeah.
This was like their audition shots from their first season, because that's what a first season is, you know? It's just one long audition shot. They give you $5 and you see what people make do with for $5 wigs, you know, and whatever they could afford at the time. It's like everything's glue gunned to their foreheads. Oh, the memories, guys.
Especially because wasn't Potomac its first season supposed to be a show about etiquette? Wasn't the whole, and then they just changed it into a housewives show?
Was it about etiquette?
I think it was.
Matters.
I think it, I think it started out as like a group of women and etiquette, and so, it was something like that. And then you know, I think that and then Dallas was supposed to be about charity, and both these shows were coming out. And then I think that they just, Bravo decided to make them both new Real Housewives franchises. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure that's what I read somewhere.
Well, that actually makes a lot of sense if that's the case, because remember that whole fight with Charisse because Giselle went upstairs and she shouldn't have gone upstairs.
And Shasha apparently is filming again for the new season. The new season already started, which is exciting because obviously I think the other rumor is that Katie got fired after the Cayman Islands trip because she left without telling anyone, and that's probably a big no-no. So, and she's probably a liability for other sad, dark reasons. But Shasha, there was a photo of Shasha filming with the rest of the gals at Candace's one-year anniversary party. Which, by the way,
God.
Also...
one-year anniversary party? I do I have to go to that? Fuck off with your one-year anniversary. Yeah, congratulations. Go to dinner at Chili's like everybody else. I'm officially better to be married to you than you, because Chili's is way better than Applebee's.
Well, I almost said Cheesecake Factory, but...
Okay, you would have won.
Only because
in our
I
hypothetical, yeah, you would have won that hypothetical, but you didn't. So we're not going back to season three, Ben.
Okay, so anyway, so we get to see all of Karen and Giselle's greatest hits, which are really so wonderful. And when we come out of it, Giselle starts saying the typical thing of like, I just want to be in a better place with Karen. That's all I want to be, which of course she always says.
Yeah, until I try to ruin your life again. Nah.
Yeah.
So Karen's like, well, I only have one requirement. Put your seatbelt on before you start to drive. Two. Don't go upstairs unless you're requested. Three, sit down in a chair that's not the middle seat on someone else's birthday.
Four, don't feed me after midnight. Five, keep me out of the light. Don't ever get water on me, that's for sure.
And six, no pain, no gain. It's like, wait a minute, Karen. Stick to a movie, okay? So she's like, well...
Don't cross the streams.
Yeah, she's like, I have one requirement. If you're on the left, you're supporting me. And if you're on the right, you're throwing me under a bus. So how about just pick a side.
Yeah, she says, well, you know, Karen, you know, Giselle, you know, she sits there in the chair, because the chair is the interview. So she sits there in the chair and she's vicious. And they're like, well, you're pretty vicious too, Karen. She's like, no, I am a darling. Security, this darling wants to say that she loves you. That's all. I'm a darling.
So Karen's like, I'm not the only woman you've gone after in that chair. She loves using that chair. She's like, you sit in your chair. I'm like, Karen, you literally bought props this year to your chair. Can we stop?
How angry does Karen get when she watches The Voice? Oh, look at you sitting in there in that chair, swiveling around.
She goes to executions just to yell at people before they get the switch pulled. She's like, how dare you, you in your chair. Any last words? I'll bet you do, sitting in your chair.
Like, Karen, we don't need this right now.
I'm about to pull this switch. Just say you own it. All right. You just made fun of Monique.
Okay, then you get a pardon. So Karen tells Giselle, you're vicious and you're malicious. And Giselle says, I'm not vicious or malicious, just a lovely and delicious. I couldn't care for another. I'm like, you halfway quoted Delight. I cannot believe that no one referenced that. Did anyone else notice that?
No, I didn't.
Giselle
funny.
Literally said, I'm not vicious or malicious. I'm like, oh my God. She literally was
vicious or malicious.
Just a lovely and delicious. I couldn't care for another. Great song. If you don't know that song, look it up. It's a great song.
I couldn't dance for another.
Groove is in the heart. Groove is in the chair. Guess what? The groove is in the chair, and that groove is nasty. It's a vicious groove.
Groove is in the heart.
Security, there's a groove in here. There's a groove in my heart.
Ow! My heart. I've got a groove in it. Security!
Security, we're in the discovery phase about this groove. We think it's going to be in the heart, but it might also be in a pot that Ray's checking. Okay, Ray, stop clattering the pots. There's no groove in there.
So how long have Giselle and Karen been friends? And Karen's like, I don't want to say it, but there was more mother stuff going on. I remember when Richard Nixon suggested spanking your children. I never! And then they
I don't want to say how long we've been friends, but I can say that when the Lindy Hop came around, I was the first one to teach it to everyone, and Giselle did not know it.
I'll tell you this, Andy. Giselle learned the jitterbug from me, so...
All I have to say is that I was the first one who had a Model T. That's it. That's all I'll say. Henry Ford was a very good friend of mine.
Oh, so what did they... They started fighting about cookie bait.
Okay, so... So they're talking about how, Karen's talking about how they go way back and how their friendship, you know, before reality TV used to be more about mothering because they had kids and they'd sound like they would go to like kid stuff. And Karen goes, well, we were about cookie bake. You know, she didn't like to lose then. She doesn't like to lose now. And I was like, okay. And then Giselle goes, you cheated for cookie bake, period. End of story. I'm like, wait. Please tell us more about Cookie Bake. What happened at Cookie Bake? Because I need to know everything.
And it's been going on ever since. They've hated each other ever since Giselle accused her of cheating at the Cookie Bake.
Who would have thought that that scene in the beginning of the season of Giselle making cookies, her daughter's making cookies for Karen, would actually be loaded with so many memories? Because you know Karen's like, oh, are these the cookies from the Cookie Bake? Oh, your award-winning Cookie Bake. Oh, I guess you didn't win the award because I won it. I won the award. Cookie Bake.
Yeah, it's like the origin story. It's like an entire Lost episode dedicated to that one character story, you know?
Yeah.
Emmys, that's in there for you, Emmy voters.
Yeah, boy. Exactly. That's what you got to do. Because apparently, Giselle says that Karen cheated at Cookie Bake, but Karen said, oh, well, she didn't follow directions, and she lost, and she never got over that. She never got over it. She had an inferior cookie. C is for cookie, but it's also the grade that Giselle got.
This cracked me up because Andy said, Pookie from the Poconos wants to know, Giselle fights with Karen more, but Karen hits deeper. So, ladies, who do you think is to blame in all this fighting? And they all go, Giselle. And Candace says, Giselle is a bully. And Robin's like, well, Karen, you're the one that's so defensive. And she's like, oh, you know what, Robin? That worked that last year. Not this year. Because I have ownership. I have ownership this year. Not only of my behavior, but of my house, which I am leasing to currently possibly own, maybe, if I lease it properly, owning own. Move on, Andy. Move on or I'm leaving. That's it.
It's a good rebuttal to when someone says you're defensive. So then Karen's like, you know, Giselle, she's messy pants. She's a messy pants. She talks to me all the time. She's messy pants. She literally has messy pants. Look at all those chocolate chip stains from a loser chocolate chip cookie. Cookie bake.
Don't stir the beehive if you don't want to get stung by better cookies. Am I right, Andy?
Well, don't stir the beehive if you want to get stung by delicious honeycomb cookies that win fair and square. Did not pay off the judges.
Giselle's like, okay, well, let's just go have drinks then. And she goes, well, we did that in the islands. Wasn't that fun? We had a kiki time. That was fun. And Andy, okay, Andy, we'll go have drinks. Next, Andy. Next, Andy. And then she turns and she winks at the other camera. And I was like, fucking Karen. She's even winking at the wrong camera right now.
I'm giving that man a cookie so that way he gives me a good angle. That's what that means.
Cookie gate.
So Andy is. Andy mentions that Monique had a giant-headed baby. She's like, so the big-headed Samuels baby left you too exhausted to reach for your umbrella, and we saw a way softer and way more sober side of you. God, that is shade right there.
Yeah, so we see a montage of all the stuff that Monique's gone through. And, like, one small part of it was the joke that... that scene where Monique and Chris were talking about how, Chris doesn't want to have more sex because... I don't know what it was. But basically where Monique laughed, like, well, if I knew that the only thing to stop Chris from wanting to have another baby is to keep sex away from him, I would have done it. Da-da-da-da. And then it's, like, this whole montage, and we come out of it. The very first thing Andy asks is, so, have you resumed your normal sex schedule? I'm like, He's so tacky.
We just sort of went through a montage of like someone losing their child. It's like all this stuff. And Andy's like, so what about sex?
Yeah. Monique's like, yes, thank the Lord. Have you noticed I'm flatter and whiter now?
Yeah, and then Karen looks grossed out because she doesn't want to talk about sex. And I'm like, lady, you're the one who's going to teach us how to give a blowjob next week. So please stop acting like you're so prim and proper.
No, I'm just showing you how to make an award-winning cookie.
Yeah. So then he asks about the mother-in-law, Miss Shirley. Mm-hmm. And
Benny from Dover, Delaware. God, what a hero. He goes, is it hard to look at Miss Shirley and not see Chris in a wig? Because that's what I see.
And she goes, yeah, I put on a wig on Chris, and they really do look exactly alike. And then they show pictures of them side by side with a wig on Chris. And God, he really does.
Oh, God, he looks just like his mother. Just like his mother.
So then we move on to Giselle and Monique having like a tiny little fight. He's like, yeah. Well, Giselle tried it, but you know, that was pretty short and boring. Maybe it's because the living room was too small. Robin!
Yeah. He's like, well, so where are you and Giselle right now? And Monique is like, well, I think I'm still owed an apology. And Giselle says, no, you know what, Ta? That night at Robin's tiny open house was 3 years in the making. I'm like, no, come on now. That was not.
And you're the one who's been making it. I like that Monique said that. She's like, you're the one who's not nice to me. She's like, I did one little thing. So I did that one little thing of bringing your boyfriend's ex on the show to talk about how your boyfriend was probably fucking prostitutes in parks. I mean, so I did that one little thing. Yeah. But you're the one who's been mean to me.
Yeah. And by the way, Monique wasn't the one who brought that lady on. It was Karen and Shasha, right? And so, like, but Monique was the one who took the fall for it.
Well, Monique kind of did.
Monique brought her on.
Yeah, she shot a scene with her.
Oh, like I thought it was more the other lady. Yeah, I don't know. But Monique took the full fall for it, which was hilarious.
Because wasn't it that she had a charity event? Well, she didn't have a charity event that she was running. She was just asked to speak at one. So she didn't go to another charity event because she was speaking at this one. And at this charity event, Karen went to the charity event after lying, saying that she wasn't going to go. Robin was having an
empowerment luncheon, which was organized a week before. I mean, if you thought the flip looked bad, you should have seen this empowerment luncheon. Okay. Oh, it was like sandwiches from Subway. And then Monique is like, I can't go to it because I'm going to like another charity. And they got mad at Monique because Monique made it sound like it was her charity, but she was just speaking at it or being honored. But either way, Monique is like, I'm doing this. And then Karen backed out of Robin's because Karen was like, oh, I want to go to the fancy thing, not Robin's stupid luncheon. And then Karen blatantly lied and then said it was Siri. Because Robin's yes, like, are you going to come to my luncheon? And Robin's like, yes, I will absolutely be there. There's no reason why I would not be there. I'm 100% going to be there. And then later on, she's like, oh, that was Siri. You know how Siri is. You know, you tell her, Siri, find me a spoon. And the next thing you know, she's RSVPing to every single event in town, even your ridiculous luncheon. Did I say that?
You ask Siri for a spoon. Next thing you know, she's bringing you poon. And everyone's accusing you of things, which I didn't do, okay, Mr. Blue Eyes?
So... that being said, Giselle and Monique. So, yeah, Giselle was like, yes, yeah. I was disappointed that I thought we were at a better place.
And Monique's like, you were the one who was talking trash about me, so I don't know what you're talking about. She's like, well, I was told that you were talking trash from Ashley. And Karen's like, here's my question, Andy. Why do we have pigeon carriers in this group, Andy?
Why can't we upgrade to something modern? Like, you know... mail that you write and put in an envelope. Why it's not something modern like that?
I'm a woman of the modern age, and I would like to tell Giselle that Monique has been talking to her. Wait for the horse and buggy who will be carrying the message. Wait for it.
Shouldn't we be at the fax machine level by now? Why can't we fax? There's a reason why it's called fax, because I like to deal in facts, okay? So let's fax each other now.
So Andy asks Giselle, so do you believe that Monique wasn't trash talking you? And Giselle's so tired at this point. She's like, was she? And they're like, no. And Ashley's like, no, I told you she wasn't trash talking. She goes, oh, okay, I got it. You know what? I'm tired. Whatever. My delivery was bad. Is this day over yet?
Yeah. So Monique
Giselle can't remember what she's supposed to be mad at.
Yeah, she's basically like, my delivery was on 10, it should have been 1.2, that's also My cookies should have been a 10, but they got ranked 1.2. It wasn't fair.
And they're like, okay, yeah, they're all just kind of laughing. And Monique says, well, thanks for being accountable. They all laugh because they have bigger fish to fry. You know, this is the penis. This is the butt grabbing episode, you know? Then, so they're like, oh, we all love each other right now. So
and then Monique
just, you wait.
And then Monique is like, you know, Giselle isn't happy unless if she can't push your buttons. And I don't like being dominated. And Andy's like, and he goes, well, with all due respect, we do have a bunch of tops in the room and not a lot of bottoms. Am I right? I'm like, you know, I think there'll be a lot of gay people who will not totally love the implication that you're saying right now.
And he's like, Michael's up on the balcony. Michael, do you have something to say? Just kind of meant to raise my hand, Andy.
Michael, right. See any bottoms on stage here? See any bottoms? Not a lot of bottoms. Not a lot of bombs at all, right? Stupid bottoms. Stupid bottoms.
I heard bottoms and I ran up those stairs with my fingers a-pinching. So if anyone can just point me in the direction of the bottom business, I'm a businessman.
The only reason why my fingers are pinching is because I'm trying to pinch at the cash that I'm earning from my business dealings and negotiations and such, MBA.
Well, Ashley, your uncle's party was not only good for fashion. It was a where's the sausage, a penis, or a sausage penis, or a misunderstanding about a penis sausage misunderstanding. So which husband was it about? Let's watch a clip package about gay fear and gay... What do they call that? Gay,
homophobia? Gay panic?
No, gay panic, yeah. Let's watch our clip about gay panic right after I just said every housewife is a top. Okay, let's go into that.
So we see the whole thing play out. And so Robin still won't say whose dick that she heard. And Monique is like, well, I know it ain't Chris because nobody can handle that but me. I'm like, that's exactly why probably Chris would. I mean, it's like, it's a challenge. Chris, but Michael, you know.
International businessmen love challenges. So,
let me tell you what I can handle. I can handle a big, long, firm business deal. That's what I can handle.
That's what I can talk. Listen, I can handle a good goose if we're goosing up the numbers on an Excel spreadsheet because I'm an international businessman.
Listen, there's nothing more that I want to get my hands on than get both hands on a long, round, juicy business deal and make some business happen.
I cannot wait to stick my Johnson into your wide, gaping, manila envelope. And by Johnson, I meant my Hancock Johnson, because I signed a business deal.
You know what I want to put in my mouth? Some big, hot, sexy, long words that I can string together into a sentence and make a business deal out of.
So they're like, whose husband's dick did he want to suck? Which we've always known it's Juan.
Of course. Right?
So they make it this big mystery, and Robin's like, I won't say it. So somebody else is like, we all know it's Juan. Come on. She goes, well, then I'll just go with a popular opinion. Okay, it was Juan.
It was Juan. I mean, even Ashley's pretty much like, it's Juan, right? It's Juan. So...
Who doesn't want to suck his dick?
So then backstage, then it cuts randomly to backstage. Michael is putting his tie on in front of the other guys, and he goes, so Chris, you got a team this year or not? And the guys just stare at him like, who the fuck is this guy?
I know. Why is Michael asking us what team we play for? Everybody's just going to take everything Michael says wrong, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Just their blank expressions were hilarious.
So Andy's like, well, why would Ashley, you're saying that Robin's lying about this. So what would be her motive to lie about it? She goes, well, I took it as revenge for me, for all the things that I said about Juan, which were that Juan was cheating on her and her yelling about her relationship with Juan sucking and all of that. Mm-hmm. And Robin's like, that's not the case. The reason I felt comfortable bringing it up is because of your behavior to other people. I was like, oh, so then you were bringing it up because of Juan.
Well, I don't think that Robin was doing it out of revenge. I actually don't think that she operates like that. And I think if she does operate in a petty way, like, we know it and we see it and we feel it. I think this was her being like, oh, you know? And she basically was like, well, I thought I could bring it up because you've been so messy in the past, I thought you'd be able to handle me being a little messy too. But yeah, obviously you can't.
Yeah.
There was so also a lot of discussion.
Why didn't you phrase it until now? And Karen's like, well, I thought she was just going to say, you know, I thought Ashley would just say, oh, Michael loves to squeeze ass. I mean, who cares? I just questioned this time because you reacted so crazily. I mean, you already knew about the charges being leveled during the dick sucking competition or conversation. And I'm sorry I said competition, Giselle, but just to remind you, you lost. You lost it.
You cheated. So there was also a lot of discussion about the fact that Robin heard dick and Chris heard sausage. It's like, dick, sausage, sausage, dick. And Andy's like, well, they are two different words, which is true. But, like, you know, the brain does weird things. And, like, that I feel like is immaterial. That's like, dick or sausage is the same concept. And I just felt like really stating that because I think it's important to say that.
Well, one thing I thought clarify. Was really funny in that, because they did show that clip of Chris saying, I think he said sausage. And then Candace at that party when she heard him, she goes, well, the dick just said sausage. So I thought it was funny.
Well, the other thing is that Robin then was like, well, doesn't that mean that we're telling the truth? Because if we were both lying, we'd have the exact same story. So we have different stories, which shows that we're actually telling the truth, which was some warped logic that I actually kind of agreed with.
No, I don't think that that's actually true, because eyewitness accounts are never the exact same. It's when people are lying and they come up with a story that all of their stories are exactly
that's
the
what,
same.
And that's what Robin was saying.
Oh, I thought she was saying, wouldn't our stories all be exactly the same?
No, she was saying, this shows why we're telling the truth, because our stories are different.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That shows it's more
Robin,
authentic.
That shows that Robin and I both watch Law & Order.
Yeah.
Basically is what that shows.
Yeah, plus also, like, you know, Chris may have heard sausage, but that's also because he's working on a very important cookbook, and so food is top of mind. And I've taken enough notes on these shows to know that someone will say something, and I will write it down verbatim, and then I go back, and I'm like, I wrote down a completely different sentence than what was said. How did that happen?
I do it all the time, yeah. Every time I rewind, I'm like, I didn't write down anything that I just wrote down whatever my interpretation of what they just said is.
Yeah.
Not even close.
It's shocking what the brain can do to a word. It's really, really shocking.
Yeah, so basically Chris heard him say he's going to suck a quesadilla. And then Karen's like, well, why didn't you just tell us? You know, why didn't you check us in our shoes and say, here's what's up. My husband has been on a violent tear across the city and I'm hurt or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Karen's like, Karen goes, well, you know, I don't think we even realized how serious it was. And like, you should have just checked us and said, I don't think this, you might think this is funny, but I'm dealing with some serious shit in my life. And if you had done that, I would have been like, oh my God, this is serious. Let's stop. I would have been silent. That's what I would have done. I'm like, yeah, right, Karen. Come on now.
Yeah.
You would have taken that right to your friends in the phone right at
that
moment.
Yeah, Karen's so full of it. So basically, they're saying you knew that your husband was being accused of sexual assault, and you never even mentioned it while we're having this whole conversation. And she's like, yes, because I thought you guys had heard of the sexual assault stuff and were piling on shit. You're just throwing more shit at the fan, basically, right?
And none of them had heard of it. So, and Ashley was saying that Karen was, Ashley basically says that Karen was reveling in all this. She was like, you were reveling. And Karen's like, no, Giselle told you I was reveling in it, but I wasn't reveling in it. And Giselle's like, you admitted it, cookie cheetah. Karen goes, no, I said I had an enjoyable moment. That's not reveling. I just was smiling and dancing and full of joy, but it's not reveling, not reveling.
Yeah, and she's like, well, that's not reveling. Reveling is a wonderful mascara that you put on your face. It's the best in the business. And Giselle's like, that's Revlon. Yes, and still not yours. Still not yours, Giselle. Still not
here's
the best
what
in the business.
Here's what I revel about. Coming in first place at Cookie Bake. Fair and square. Not paid off anyone. Did not pay off anyone.
And Andy's like, actually, that is reveling, Karen. And she goes, oh, well, you want to use semantics? Then use semantics, Andy. Have fun with that. And Giselle's like, you literally gave Robin a high five for being the bone carrier. And then we see the clip of Karen doing just that. And then she goes, you said bone collector. Yeah. And Karen's like, let me be clear. All right, well, if Giselle had been quiet and not drug that back to you, we could have been good. Yeah. Just because the little pigeon carrier over there hadn't heard of horse and buggy, so.
Maybe she should spend more time working on her terrible cookies and less time trying to drag me into the dirt. And she would win some competitions once in a while. The Dom cookies coming soon.
Giselle's argument is failing like her peanut butter crunch cookies.
Snicker, do it a little more like Snicker, do not. Am I right, everyone? Am I right? Security,
enjoy your snickle. Enjoy your snicker dotals, Giselle. Hey, Jizzy. Jizzy.
Karen, you cheated. You made oatmeal raisin cookies and those never win competitions. You cheated. You cheated.
So Karen is like, the problem isn't me talking shit. It's that people said that I was talking shit. So Candace is like, well, Giselle was the one who said, I'm bringing it up. I'm bringing it up. I'm bringing it up. She starts doing some voice for Giselle. And Giselle's like, thanks for that. Thanks for just making me Fat Albert. For your impersonation. Thanks.
So, yeah, because they're saying how Giselle was reveling in wanting to bring up all the, you know, bring up this information and confront Ashley with it. And Giselle was like, no, I was not reveling or celebrating. I was probably crying, still sad about losing the cookie bake to a cheetah. So we cannot know this. I'm like doing Karen and Giselle's voice all together.
I know. It's weird. I'm following it because I'm liking the mashup.
Yeah. So she's like, my feeling was, we cannot know this information and table it. That's what I felt. I felt it was very serious. It's like, no, you were like dancing, okay? And Ashley's like, well, you had a lot to say. Everyone had a lot to say. I mean, wouldn't you have a lot to say if your cookie was unfairly put in last place for some funny business like an oatmeal raisin cookie?
So Ashley's like, yeah, but I've stood up for you before. I mean, people are always saying that they're saying things about all of us, you know, and I've had your back in the past and you don't have my back. And
Karen's like, oh, she does that to everyone, Ashley. I mean, it's bullshit, but it's you, Giselle. It's just you. She's like, thanks, Karen.
Yeah, she's like, you can't be mad at Giselle for being like that because she does that to everyone. She supports you on the left side of her face, and on the right side, she's throwing you under the bus. It's bullshit, but we know it's you. That's why I'm making a special new fragrance called La Dame and La Dame and a Half. You put one half of the fragrance on the good side of your face, you put the crappy side, the other side of the fragrance, and it all works out together. It's like a black and white cookie, which I also won for.
Then you just take the rest of that and you pour it all over your body.
By the way, if anybody wants a breakdown of Karen's La Dame fragrance commercial, it's on our last bonus episode.
Yeah, go check
that
out.
That commercial is fucking priceless. So yes. Giselle's like, well, we're on a show, and it happened to all of us, not just you, Ashley. I mean, Michael wouldn't be here if it weren't for you. Michael wouldn't be on TMZ if it weren't for you. Michael wouldn't have an ass to potentially squeeze if it weren't for you.
So, yeah, Giselle's like, well, maybe I should, my thought was, maybe I should make a joke, because this shit isn't funny, I'm like, I've never heard that logic before. This shit isn't funny, so I should make a joke. It usually doesn't work that way.
Yeah, so I'm kind of with Giselle in a way about all this. So, anyway, Giselle's like, well, my ish, you know, he goes on Fox 5 and he says he didn't do it, and Australian out, dropped the mic, you know? I mean, how about he say, I'd like to take this opportunity on national television to apologize for humiliating my wife. What about that? And she's like, but he didn't do anything to me. Why would he apologize to me?
Yeah, and then, yes. And so Giselle is basically like, she's like, well, he didn't do anything to you, but, like, he should still make you, like, he should still apologize that you have to deal with this shit, but Ashley is still like, no, but I, like, Ashley is essentially not willing to even approach the idea that this ever happened.
Right. She's saying if he apologized to her, that would be basically admitting that he squeezed someone's ass. Right.
Right. Yeah.
So Candace is like, well, you know, it's just disrespectful, so he should apologize. I mean, if Chris made some joke that he wants to eat Giselle's ass, I mean, that's disrespectful to me. And everyone goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. She goes, he just used Giselle in that hypothetical because Giselle's the only one without a husband. Jesus.
I think she actually said box, not ass, just to make it even grimier.
Okay. The word for ass then. Whatever. Yeah. So Robin's like, well, it doesn't, you know, our point is it doesn't matter if it's a man or a woman. It's just disrespectful. And Monique's like, yeah, you know, it's the same thing that Ashley did when she brought up if Juan was, you know, doing things during your marriage. You know, it's not your business.
Mm-hmm.
But thanks for bringing that up again.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure Robin loves to hear that every time she gets a chance.
Exactly. So then Ashley, so they're all talking about all this stuff. And, you know, Karen, of course, is like, well, you know, it takes a lot of courage to stand up and say something like, as this fine young man said, and da 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 da. And everyone's basically like, yeah, why would this guy, you know, jeopardize his career and, like, throw himself in the public ring just to lie? Like, what's, like, why would he do that? And they all, and everyone kind of agrees, like, yeah, I mean, like, he has.
What's the, like, motive, you know?
What's the motive? And so Ash is like, fair. But Michael is a 60-year-old man who is a prominent businessman in Washington who does business and deals and such and business. And when this article came out, why weren't there, like, all these people who were like, Michael did that to me too? I'm like, that's not the best logic to use, because it doesn't.
Yeah. It only counts if there's, like, multiple people on TMZ talking about it. Like,
yeah. What? Doesn't it only require one person? I mean, why does it have to be multiple people? And I'm probably sure a lot of other people just probably are like, I don't care and I want to forget this and move on with my life.
Well, my argument has always been with Karen, which is Michael is always grabbing people's butts. Everyone knows that. It's been happening since season one. So he should have just said, oh, I do that as a friendly gesture. It's like men slapping each other on the butt in the locker room, which still doesn't make it right, but it's right. That's probably what his defense would be. But I guess if he said that, then he's admitting it.
Well, that's why,
also hurting all his business deals and stuff like that. And I'm not condoning it or saying it's okay. I'm just saying they're probably denying it because it's actual assault.
Yeah, and that's probably why Ashley, at one point, I don't know if you caught this, Ashley said, I don't think Michael was doing anything. He wasn't intending to hurt me in any sort of way or whatever. So she's like bringing up intentionality, which I thought was a fascinating, you know, thing that she dropped in there. So then Robin, so after Ashley says this thing, like, why aren't there other people coming out? So Robin's like, well, the same evening that he grabbed Andrew's butt, like 3 years ago, we were made aware that he grabbed a couple of our producers' butts as well. And then, like, all the women were like, yeah, we heard that too. So basically producers were like, yeah, he's a butt grabber.
Yeah, he just grabs everybody's butts, you know, and which is gross, but... Yeah, she's like, yeah, actually, he's grabbed a lot of producers' butts. And everyone's like, yep. And Karen goes, well, is it just possible that this is something that you don't know about your husband? No, it's not possible. She doesn't know that. Come on.
She knows. She knows.
Of course.
But she's probably also, in her mind, it's like, oh, it's just a, like you said, in her mind, she thinks it's just some sort of Australian greeting thing, like a fun, like, boys will be boys thing, because that's how she's sort of rationalizing it, probably looking the other way.
Yes, that's what I think's going on.
But you can't even admit that much because of
this,
you know,
is just an appetizer, because next week is when they grill Michael. Next week is all but grabbing gate.
Yeah, next week will be really good. It was interesting because Andy Cohen said next week the reunion continues, which made me think, is this going to be a four-parter? Because he didn't normally, it was normally they say the reunion concludes, but he just said continues. But I think it is just three parts.
Oh Jesus! I hope
I think it's just three, because I looked up the schedule and in 2 weeks. There's no new Potomac, so.
Oh, so there you go.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks, everyone. We will be back later today with some Maury to Medicine. And be sure to get your tickets for Charlotte and Nashville this week. And then we got a whole bunch of other shows. And don't forget the Crappies. Those tickets are selling really well. So make sure you get your ticket before it is gone. We'll have more and more cities to announce. So stay tuned. And be sure also to sign up for our newsletter, which is really fun. We'll have a new one out. I don't know when, but keep an eye out on your inbox. And you'll see
everybody.
Okay.
We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Bye.
For my whole life, I didn't know if I even really existed, but I do.
Joker is the film that everyone is talking about. Critics are calling it the film of the year, an instant classic, a masterpiece, 5 stars.
People are starting to notice.
Gloriously daring, thunderously powerful, Joaquin Phoenix is astonishing.
The clown.
When you bring me out, can you introduce me as Joker?
Joker, in cinemas October 4. Book tickets now.
Get ready for Brexit on the 31st of October. This means that travelling to the EU will change. You'll need to check online if your passport is valid for travel to Europe. If you're planning on driving, you'll need to check if you have the right documents to drive. And make sure your travel insurance covers all your healthcare needs. To keep your trip on track, check what you need to do at gov.uk/Brexit. Get ready for Brexit on the 31st of October.